And that music means that's me, Bill Buckmaster, right here on the radio, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program together, we welcome you to the show for the midweek edition. It is Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. Tom, I know we are in a horrible drought after last year. We're all hoping last year's summer was an anomaly. I mean, incredibly hot temperatures, virtually no monsoon. But I will tell you, the color with the saguaros, I haven't seen this explosion on the saguaros in many years here in town. Looking really good out there.
Where are they getting their water from?
Yeah, you got to wonder. Well, it's, you know, they store it in those kind of elephant trunks that they have. But
do you think they're anticipating a wetter summer ahead?
I sure hope so.
Me too.
I mean, we are, you know, it could be like 6 weeks away from rain, and we need some rain desperately. We're here on the radio on KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, and we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. You can hear our program not only live on KVOI, but you can hear it through the internet. The website, my website, buckmastershow.com, has the live feed, as does kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's go now for our monthly visit with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Paul, how is your day going?
It's going great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Paul, so many people, and I know you're seeing it all over town, people saying, I don't need to wear a mask anymore. They think the pandemic is over. But the United States, Paul, is still divided in its willingness to accept vaccines or even heed any more precautions against infection. And vaccination rates seem to have peaked. Herd immunity now seems unlikely before next winter. Are you getting that feeling? A lot of people just saying this thing is over?
No, I think it's a mixed bag. I think that a lot of people really, it's unfortunate that the vaccine, the anti-vaccine movement over the years had some momentum. It's also unfortunate that a few people are kind of ruining it for everybody else, because we'd be a lot closer. In Tucson, we've done a pretty good job, and we mobilized very fast and got a lot of jabs into the arms, and we're almost at our original goal. As the 12 to 15 year old, the CDC is going to vote for that today, already been approved by the FDA. I think that's going to again bring some type of discussion into it. But it is definitely a mixed bag, in that you really, yes, we have some people that have basically said, forget it. There are people who believe in the vaccine who have said, hey, it's over. I'm vaccinated. I'm good. I can do what I want. There's other folks that have been vaccinated and still think they're very high risk to get COVID, and they may be right too. I mean, and so it's really different levels kind of where it is. I'd say that the folks that never got COVID for whatever reason and didn't really believe in COVID, I'd say those folks probably ought to reexamine kind of some of the realities that have existed. But it's just difficult to go any farther than that. I mean, once you get through this discussion, what you find out is that people want to believe their own truth. And we talked about this on this show in the past. And that is that we've come to this kind of nexus in American history where people want to tell and believe their own narrative. And that narrative may not, it will be unique. It's part of the uniqueness that creates our society. And that's a double-edged sword. And that's kind of what's happened here.
It just doesn't even seem like it's the same year. It was really only a couple of months ago that my wife and I set the alarm for 3:45 so we could get over to the Tucson Convention Center and stand in line. We had heard there was going to be some vaccine available that day and got up and got over there that early. And now if you want the shot, you can go pretty much to any pharmacy, I think, Paul. Just walk in and get the shot. Isn't that kind of the way it is right now?
We have same day walk-in right now.
Yeah.
We have call for an appointment at 8 a.m. and you'll be in by 9 a.m.
Wow.
We have a multitude of different pop-up sites. If you have a transportation issue, I can promise you there's going to be a pop-up site within a 2 mile as the crow flies somewhere within the next week. You know that I'm organizing a football game for all the kids who missed out to play football this last fall for all of our seniors. We have about 80 kids playing at Tucson High. We're going to do a pop-up event at one of the practices for that game for some of the parents and such. We're trying to do everything we can to encourage people to get the vaccine. Now, I will say this. In Tucson, for people over 65, we had a very high response of people who got the vaccine. And as a result, and that trend is true nationwide, but we're a little bit ahead of the curve as far as, you know, we got the FEMA site up and running quickly. We got the TCC up and running really quickly. I remember putting that together and being on the phone basically all day that week. We want to have a site at the TCC. We want it now. And our Tucson Fire Department stepped up, and Andy Squire, who works in government affairs in the city, stepped up and basically coordinated that thing and got it done. And as a result, we got a lot of jabs in the arms early. So now we've got the folks that are complacent and they kind of don't care one way or the other. And for them, I say, please go. I plead you, go get it. And any of the other folks that don't want to get it, and I say, please have an open mind and consider other people who may be at risk if you feel that your immune system is naturally able to defend from the virus. Remember, you can shed dead virus to people close to you who could be vulnerable. And then the last folks who absolutely refuse, I'm not going to get into a power struggle with that person. I'm just going to tell you, I hope you educate yourself more. And then that's where we are. That's the reality that we're in. But there are some precedents like, hey, are we going to require vaccinations for enrollment in school? Because we do right now. Are we going to require all soldiers to get vaccinated and people serving? Because we can require that. So though there are some things in there that some employers and some of that will kind of work itself out naturally.
Yeah, and the University of Arizona, I think President Robbins has said he would like to have everybody vaccinated that comes back, a mandate, but I think he's waiting on the Board of Regents to say it's got to be at all three universities. But a decision on that has to come very soon.
Well, if you want open classes and you want people without masks and you want people to be able to go to McHale and enjoy women's and men's basketball, and you want to go watch Coach Fish lead our glorious resurgence in football, I mean, if you want to do those things, then you got to get vaccinated. And not only that, everybody else has to. Because until we are not at risk for having a spike in hospitalization, it's not going to matter. And that's what people need to understand. And, you know, yes, we are at a lower hospitalization rate right now than we were prior to the pandemic. And that's a good thing. But that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. We kept the schools. A big shout out to TOSD, who waited one extra quarter before they let people back in. And so what you're finding is just a very low kind of scatter rate with parents in that school district. And that's a good job by TOSD. Typically, they were very forward thinking in that. So we've got some good things we've done, and I think we're on the cusp, and we're definitely not, it's definitely less risky to be out. That's true. I mean, you can't deny that, but that doesn't mean we should be pumping the brakes and ignoring this and acting like everything's hunky-dory when there's always more to be done right now.
All right. Before we do the Mona's Danish Bakery live read, which is coming up in a minute or so, you mentioned the All-Star High School football game. I've scheduled Coach Jeff Skurin, who, along with you, Paul Cunningham, were very instrumental in getting this All-Star game the first week of June. I'm going to have an interview with Coach Skurin, who's over now coaching, a head coach in Germany. I think he's in Stuttgart. But we're going to talk to him the first right before the game, a couple of days. But give us a quick plug. When is the high school All-Star game? And the public is invited, I assume.
Yeah, Friday, June 7th. Friday, June 4th, 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
See the 7 and 4 there. Okay. We're playing as the sun goes down because it just gets really hot.
Right.
But it's the best we could. I thought it was the best move. We've got 83 kids, I think, signed up. We've got some seniors from Saguaro, from South Point, from Cat Foot, from Vail School District, Cienega, that are all playing. Sunnyside, definitely. And we've got a great group. We've got Coach Dennis Benet, who was a longtime coach at South Point, coaching one team. And we got Coach Nimer Hathi, who was really successful at Saguaro and Cienega and is one of the outstanding educators our community has. And both of those gentlemen are coaching a team. Coach Skurin has been kind of the football brains of the operation, and I did the political part, made sure that everybody came together so we could pull it off. And I think it's going to be a big treat. We are only allowed to have, I believe, 1,670 people to come right now. And so the tickets will be printed, and if you get your hands on one, they're free. It's free admission. But you got to get a ticket. You can't come without a ticket, and that's how we're controlling the proper social distance in the stadium. Also, during that week, if you come and get a vaccine at our pop-up site, where the plan is, it's not all finalized, but the idea is that if you come during the week at the pop-up site, you get tickets. We'll give you tickets for that.
And
so that's kind of what we're – go ahead.
The venue is the Arizona Stadium?
No, it's Tucson High School Stadium.
Oh, okay. I wanted to clarify.
I mean, putting 1,600 people in Arizona Stadium is just it's a little extra, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, gotcha. We're keeping it at Tucson High. And another shout out to TUSD and Gabe Trujillo and Lila Counts and Adelita, and Natalie Luna, who really made this happen. And
All
they
right.
really just worked with the community and said, and they're not necessarily the biggest football people, but they understood that our kids kind of got cheated and they lost out, and they should have that opportunity at least for, one 48-minute game where parents get to see their kids play on that field that one time as a senior and do something. So maybe even make a play and do something special. So that's kind of where we're at.
All right.
And I'm really enthused about it, and I'm proud of it.
Are you ready now for me to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, Paul Cunningham?
I can never get enough of Mona's Danish Bakery.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, as my friend Tom Fairbanks came up with this catchy little slogan, light and tasty, multi-layered pastry. And one thing that's not in the jingle that we ought to make a jingle is the wonderful paste that they put in there. I like the almond, but they have strawberry, raspberry, blueberry, a variety of flavors. Mona is open right now for lunch. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise open each day at 6:30 for their breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Find out what all the excitement is about. They're having a great time up at Mona's. Lots of people discovering Mona's, many of them hearing about it right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Back with Paul Cunningham. Want to talk about this possible water rate for those of us who live in unincorporated Pima County. That will be our topic with Paul when we continue.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Unlike Alaska, where I will be heading this weekend, where they have just had the big green up, and Tom Fairbanks knows a little bit about this because Tom spent a lot of time.
The green explosion?
Yeah, the green explosion. Tom spent a lot of time up in Alaska and Fairbanks. We have green happening over at Green Things, Tom, but the green up is a weird thing. Within 2 or 3 days, the boreal forest explodes in green.
Yeah, just it goes from a brownish gray to bright green.
Yeah, bang. And lucky for me, that has happened, so I'll be able to see everything nice and green up there. But if I want to see things nice and green here, certainly Green Things on their beautiful 13 acres at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They have everything you could possibly need for your garden, and they also have great employees who can answer any question you might have. It'd be pretty hard to stump these people. They'll get a lot of, like, what will live through the summer? They'll then point you in the right direction, take you over to that part of the business, and you'll go home with some plants that pretty much guaranteed are going to do very well. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Their sister business also on site, ZocaloVillage.com. Paul Cunningham is with us for his monthly visit on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Paul, is the city council, this proposed water rate increase for those of us who live in unincorporated Pima County, is that on the agenda today for the council?
No. Oh. I think it's on May 18th.
Oh, okay, May 18th. Now, will there be a public hearing that would be...
I think we have two public hearings to go on.
Yeah, one... Okay, I see Wednesday, May 12th, 5:30 to 7 in the afternoon.
Tucson Water is actually facilitating a meeting and a public meeting, not a public hearing, for input and discussion. Yes, that is today.
Okay.
And that's not a city council meeting. That's not a part of a city council meeting.
Okay. And then June 8th, there's going to be the first of the public. You said there will be two public meetings.
I'm pretty sure there's two public hearings.
Okay. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this last month, and those of us who really will be impacted are people like myself living in the lower foothills. We are very worried, but the last time you were with us, you were saying you were hoping to keep it under a 10% hike.
Right. The at the end of the day, we're going to have numbers that are going to come out, some 90%, and they haven't. I don't have them yet, so I got to get them. But the idea is that 95 or 96% of the accounts shouldn't see an increase of any more than $4 to $5 plus a month. It's not like 1978 where somebody paying $30 a month went to 150. It's nothing like that. Mm. As a matter of fact, even on a 50% increase, you're talking about $17, $18 a month, and we're probably not even going there. At the end of the day, we could charge 50% more like other jurisdictions do. We could put it all in the general fund like other jurisdictions do. We can legally do that. There's nothing to stop us. But that's not what leadership's about. That's not what, you know, that's not what Tucson's about. You've got to be a little bit more methodical than that. So there's a few things that people need to know. One is that despite only having 28% of the accounts, 36% of the water used and 38% of the water used and 36% of the infrastructure is outside the city limits. So that's your first thing. So we're upkeeping more infrastructure. So there's a fair share of infrastructure maintenance there. But that's not, you know, the most important thing. The second thing is that we're wheeling water to some 4,100 accounts that have septic tanks out there. And none of those accounts do we get the wastewater credits on. But then you get into like some of the minutia that's really important. For instance, if a street is damaged in the city, our streets department can go and say a pipe bursts and it causes some damage or a soft spot in one of our streets, our residential streets, or even one of our major streets. Our parks department, our streets department, goes out and does the maintenance on it, and we usually absorb that budget in house. We can't do that in unincorporated Pima County. We have to hire a contractor, and that contractor has to be approved by Pima County Transportation. It ends up costing us substantially more. The other thing is that if in the same scenario, if damage is done to a private entity or to another entity within the city limits, the Tucson Water Enterprise Fund does not pay the claim for that damage. The tort fund does, and that's true outside the city limits. So those things alone justify a $4 or $5 delta. Those things by themselves. But then you start talking about state shared revenues, where we lose some $90 million a year to the state and build freeways for Scottsdale because we refuse to have the county do what it's supposed to do. The county is not supposed to be providing municipal services. Now, the city has shot itself in the foot, but that was 20 years ago when they didn't approve the cost of Adobe's incorporation and they didn't encourage incorporation. I disagree with that. I think that encouraging incorporation or annexation, it doesn't make any difference as long as that's good for the region, which it is. But at the end of the day, people want to see Tucson have be business friendly or whatever they complain to me about. And the number one impetus to that is that we pay extra property taxes so that the county can provide municipal services to a select few of the of us. And that's just that's not how to do good business. And as a result, our region suffers. So this discussion is being had. It's coming. And I'm very comfortable in my feelings about this. And again, what the most important thing to understand is that we're not going to be sticking it to people, even though we totally could be. Finally, and this is probably one of the things that people need to know, virtually all of the money is going to go back into the water enterprise. Very little, if any, is going into the general fund. But some of the advantages are, what right now, if you're a low-income customer and you qualify for our low-income program and only live in the county and you don't live in the city, you don't get benefit from that. So this was really important for the board supervisors, folks, to say, hey, look, at least now some of our constituents can take advantage of the low-income program. The second piece is, and this is kind of another piece, is that recharge, retention, and reclamation projects outside the city limits will be financed through some of this delta and some of this increase. And we're looking at an increase of anywhere between $5 and $15 million. I can't speak for my colleagues on the nature of the increase. Also, the clock will be running where you'll have some time before it takes effect. And in that time, if you choose to incorporate or annex, you won't be subject to this extra $6 a month. So those are kind of some of the things that go into it. There's all kinds of things that will take place after it, including talking about well credits, talking about how we treat independent systems. We have 8 independent systems outside of our main water system. In other words, they're actually independent to the water we wheel from our cap.
Real quickly, Paul, we're about out of time.
And the condition of those systems are incumbent on whether or not what their differential rates are, because those independent systems might be costing us as much as triple or costing us half. And so they may have a totally different deal. So that's all that's everything. That's the kitchen sink.
Okay.
Bill, I hope I've explained it and articulated my reasoning, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much, Paul. We're at the midway portion of the program. We'll talk to you again in June. Thanks.
Bill, thanks for having me. Have a great week.
Thank you very much, Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Midway Point in our midweek show. Coming up at 12:45, Dustin Williams, Pima County School Superintendent. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The following segment presented by our friends at Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed. It was founded by Mr. Reed as an exhibit of exotic birds. The zoo has grown to become one of America's top zoos, with over 500 animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line is the zoo's education specialist, Kristen Ovalstadt. Kristen, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, it's my pleasure. And of course, the big attraction at a zoo is obviously to see the animals. But I think a very important mission, and correct me if I'm wrong, is really the education purpose, because in many ways, your facility, the Reed Park Zoo, is a living laboratory, isn't it?
It is, yes. And a lot of times when people think of zoos, they think about entertainment. It is a great place to bring your friends and family to have a great day. But we definitely want to focus also on the education aspect. There's four main roles that an accredited zoo, such as the Reed Park Zoo, are involved in. So there's entertainment, education, but also conservation and research. And all of those roles are part of our mission. We do want to connect all ages to wild animals and the wild places where they live. As an accredited zoo with the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, we're one of several zoos that play a vital role in educating over 180 million visitors each year. Here at Reed Park Zoo, we see about 500,000 people a year, and we want to educate them. And sometimes education is not really in the form that we might expect. It's not like a school. Just connecting with these animals, seeing them in person instead of as a photograph or on video, really helps to build that connection. And once we build that connection, we can hopefully encourage people to want to protect these animals. So education is a very big part of what we do. As far as the living laboratory, we do have several animal ambassadors, and their role is to work with educators and animal care staff to help educate people. So they are able to come out for programming, and we also do have some of them in our Conservation Learning Center. Our Conservation Learning Center includes ambassador animals that people can see on a typical zoo visit, as well as sharing ways that people can help protect this planet we all share.
And think about the school kids, 30,000 typically visit the zoo. And for these kids, as you pointed out, sure, they've seen a picture of a zebra or an elephant in a book, or they've watched a video. But when they see those live animals for the first time, the eyes light up, don't they, Kristen?
They do. It is amazing to see people's reaction, whether we're talking about an elephant to these school children or even something like a cockroach. Sometimes they see something they never expected, and they learn something about that animal. And our goal is that hopefully they'll, even if they come to the zoo with a certain perspective about a particular animal, such as a cockroach, hopefully they'll leave after their visit learning something cool and unique about that animal and making them realize that no matter how small or how big, animals are important and they're special. So it's a great sight to see that kind of aha moment that some of those students get.
How did you transition, like all of us having to pivot? We had to pivot here at the radio station, doing more and more phone interviews rather than in person during the pandemic. And you guys at the zoo had to do a lot of that as well.
We did. And in fact, during zoo closure, none of the education team was able to come onto zoo grounds. Mm. So we had to find a way to kind of engage with our community still from our very own houses. So we were able to work with our social media department to kind of get some more posts out there that had educational content. And then we also were able to do virtual programming. So Twice a week, we do offer free virtual programming on Thursdays and Saturdays at 11 a.m. That does end at the end of May, because then we'll be switching gear for summer camp, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. But we found that we were able to really kind of transition our in-person virtual zoo or our zoo adventure programs into a virtual format, still follows classroom curriculum, still includes engaging and interactive components, and kids get to see ambassador animals up close from their very own homes or classrooms.
Are you still doing some in-person field trips to schools?
We just reopened self-guided field trips to the zoo. That's something we just started this month. We are not doing in-person field trips for educational programs right now. We are still doing virtual, and that's something we'll probably continue to offer. But at the moment, we're not doing in-grounds educator-led programs.
Kristen,
we are certainly doing self-guided.
Kristen, talk about, you mentioned summer camp. This is a huge component of the outreach and education at Reed Park Zoo.
Yes. So typically we do offer a summer camp that is a full week, Monday through Friday, from 9 until 3. But this year we're doing a hybrid model. So last year we did fully virtual just for everyone's safety. But this year, we really wanted to be able to get kids back at the zoo. And I think parents were really looking for something that could get their kids out and about. But we do live in a desert, and we wanted to make sure that it could be safe and comfortable for all of the campers. So we're offering a half-day camp, Monday through Thursday, in person. And then Friday is a two-hour virtual session. And the virtual session allows us to go see animals and go to places in the zoo that, because of COVID precautions, we can't do in person. So we want to try to bring as much of a camp experience to our community members as possible.
We're speaking with Kristen Ovalstadt at the Reed Park Zoo. She's an education specialist. Do you ever take animals from the zoo out to kind of a Goodwill Ambassadors to visit not only classrooms, but perhaps a company and at a sales meeting, something to change things up a bit?
Yes, we do. So we reopened up our Zoo to You outreach program. We typically, it's a 45-minute program, and we can go to various areas in southern Arizona. Most of the places we go to are schools, libraries, community centers, retirement homes, generally within 20 or 25 miles, but we are able to go a little bit further. In the past, we've gone as far as Nogales in order to bring the zoo to organizations and groups that wouldn't otherwise be able to come and visit us. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the new flamingo, I want to talk about some of the activities coming up at the zoo. You've got the new flamingo lagoon, which is exciting. And then you've got summer safari nights coming up.
Absolutely. So we're very proud of our new flamingo lagoon. For those of you or those listeners who've been to Reed Park Zoo, you may have seen the old flamingo habitat was towards the back of the zoo, and it was a little bit older. So we were able to move them to a new habitat at the front of the zoo that's state-of-the-art and includes brand new filtration system, misting system, and a night house. So we can bring them in for vet care or that one night a year that it gets very, very cold. So we're very excited about the new Flamingo Lagoon, and people are able to see them doing their natural behaviors in an open space like they would naturally. Nice open habitat for them.
How's that African wild dog pack doing, the new group?
They're doing great. So we have four sisters that came to us from the Oregon Zoo, and it is a great opportunity to see them and see some of those natural behaviors. African wild dogs are not something you get to see every single day. So it's great to see their social dynamic. They are a pack of sisters, and they'll lay together, they'll play together, they'll share their food together.
Very cool. This Saturday starts the summer safari nights.
It does. So starting Saturday on the 15th all the way until August the 14th, every Saturday night from 5:30 to 8:30, we will have extended hours. So the zoo will be open 8 to 2 for normal hours during the summer, and then reopening at 5:30. So you can come during those cooler evenings, see some different themes. So we have a variety of themes. The theme for this Saturday is actually animal superheroes and superpowers. So we'll get a chance to learn about the African wild dogs and their hearing. We'll get to learn more about the grizzly bears and their great sense of smell. And we encourage guests to dress up as their favorite superhero, too. So it's a lot of fun. It includes food and drink specials, games, activities, live music. It's going to be a great time.
And you can get your tickets online at the website reedparkzoo.org. The event is free for zoo members. And also every other Tuesday in June, I think you've got a $3 ticket Tuesday going on, just $3 admission.
Yes, absolutely. We want to encourage all of our community members to come and visit the zoo. Like I said, our hours will be 8 to 2 during the summer, so from June until September, just something to keep in mind. And starting June 1st, there will not be a ticket and advance requirement, so you can actually come to the zoo and get in right away. You do not have to get your tickets in advance.
Good stuff. Kristen Ovalstadt, thank you very much for the great work you're doing as an education specialist at the Reed Park Zoo. Again, the website, reedparkzoo.org. Some great stuff on the website. And get to know the animals before you make your visit over to the zoo. Kristen, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Buckmaster Show continues. Dustin Williams, Pima County Superintendent of Schools, with us on the live line right after this.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Tom Fairbanks just put up on the screen for me. It's 73 degrees at the noon hour over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And as we say, especially during the summer, want to cool off? Take the three-hour drive over to Silver City, and you'll have a great time. Maybe this weekend would be a good time. Start the planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of information about things to do, and there is no shortage of things to do and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Joining us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dustin Williams, Superintendent, Pima County Schools, with us on the live line. Dustin, it has been too long since your voice graced the Buckmaster Show. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic, as always. Glad to be on with you and to be on with all your listeners on your great radio show that you do every Wednesday.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've all weathered a very, very tough year, haven't we? And can we say that we're looking ahead to a somewhat or even normal school year next year, next fall?
Yeah, we can say that. We can finally say that the light at the tunnel is there. It's something that we couldn't see months ago, but we can see it now, and we have schools gearing up to prepare for it, and we have all the right partners in the right places to make sure that we can have a good, more successful year and something of some normalcy that I know everybody's dying for.
What's the overview of, as we get ready to close out the school year, have we somewhat returned to normal, Dustin?
Yeah, we've got pretty much all of the schools back in some sort of mode of in-person. I don't know of hardly anybody that is full remote unless the parents have elected to do that. But for every school that's out there, there's an opportunity of in-person, and going forward, we see their summer programs becoming a little bit more robust and in person as well.
What have we learned, Dustin Williams, from the COVID year as far as education in Pima County?
I think we really learned the importance of how education drives industry. When education slows down and parents end up having to stay home with their children and to either watch them or do the actual education with the teachers, it really starts to hamper down business and industry and how it moves. We also know that education has been the leading industry in changing its entire outfit. So when this happened late in March and schools had to go to a remote and change everything, they did it. And when they came back and said they had to go remote, and then they had to go to hybrid, then they had to figure out how to do in person, they did it. So it's really been a leading industry, in my opinion, as far as how to adapt and move forward.
Some of our districts lost more students than others, but everybody did see a decline in enrollment. Can you kind of give us an overall view of where we're at in that area?
Yeah, we saw about a 6% drop in enrollment across the state in district schools. We did see an actual increase in enrollment in some charter schools, and a lot of that was based on who was kind of coming back in person first, whether it was a necessity or they wanted to come back. So we know the two areas, and my office is working really closely with the Arizona Department of Education, Kathy Hoffman's team, on kind of a back-to-school plan or a re-engage plan. The two areas are that pre-K, kinder, first grade, and then that junior-senior area are the statistics that we're really going to be focusing on and really just getting everybody back engaged and back to, again, what everybody wants to do is kind of have life back.
Summer school is going to be a big component this year. I know TUSD, Tucson Unified, got some money from the federal government, and they're really doing a big push for summer school. Will that be also the case at other districts in Pima County?
Yeah, it's really, really important that the parents and the community starts to see schools back in some of that smaller group, project-based learning. They're still going to have to be very, very aware of their mitigation strategies. We're not out of COVID by any means. The numbers are looking a lot better, and we're trending in a direction that we really like. But we're not out of this completely. So summer is going to be very, very interesting for, one, that social-emotional for the students, and then number two, to start to tackle some of the learning loss that we know we have in some of these grade levels.
Tell our listeners, give us a quick overview about what's in your portfolio. People sometimes are confused about the Pima County School Superintendent and your overall role, please, Dustin.
Yeah, we do a ton of things and a ton of responsibilities, but three main factors. We're heavily administration. We distribute the funds to the schools. We don't control the funds, but we distribute the money to all the schools. We do the certification for the teachers. We run all the bond and override elections, all the elections for the governing board members. Your elected county school superintendent, myself, is the appointing authority for a school board member on a non-election year. So if there's a vacancy, we'll fill that spot. And then we also run all the homeschool affidavits and private school affidavits to track the students and where they might be. We don't have the authority in school, so a lot of times, especially during this pandemic, our phone is ringing off the hook. It says, Dustin Williams, I want you to change this or get the kids back in school. And I feel the pressures, I feel the concerns. They're all valid. We're all in this together. But really, that authority lies with those elected governing board members at the district level and at the charter schools. Not elected governing board members, but they have regular appointed governing board members. The other two neat things that we do here is we are an educational service agency, so we're a professional development provider. So if a school calls us and they need a service, we're going to fill that with our team here. If we don't have that team, we're going to connect a partner. So that's also a really unique spot for business and education. If you have an idea or an opportunity, well, we want to hear it. We want you to contact schools.pima.gov. We might be able to connect your opportunity to a student. And if that's a good thing and it's going to be good for the community, we want to partner up and make sure we can help spread your word.
And you're a service provider. I think that's kind of one of your goals. You want to be known as that.
Yeah. You know, our mission is leadership, service, and collaboration. And we really want to strive on that. We're here for all entities of the public. And if there's something that you really want to know, you don't understand, you want us to run some data, we'll do it. The last thing we do is, we do have one school that we have the full authority on, and it's our school. These are our kiddos, and it's called the Accommodation District. That's the school that's located in the Juvenile Detention Center.
Really?
Yep, by the Keno Sports Park, and also at the adult jail with Sheriff Nanos.
Hmm.
You have anywhere between approximately 80 students and half over at the adult center and half over at the juvenile center. So if a juvenile's crime is bad, they're going to get tried as an adult. And it's a sad story when you're talking to a 17-year-old that's looking at, 8 to 12 years in prison. And all that student will know when they get out, they're about 30 years old, is a life of incarceration. So we spend a lot of time inside, no pun intended.
Yeah. Well, I did not know you had that role with incarcerated people, educating them. The website going to run here real quickly. Dustin Williams, tell me about your website, where people can reach you.
Yeah, just schools.pima.gov. And you can look us up there. And if there's anything you need, if you have a question, if you've got an opportunity, if you want to get involved and you want to help the system, Let us know. We're here to help you.
Dustin Williams, always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you again, hopefully sooner than rather later. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back with you tomorrow for our Thursday edition. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is next on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.